Well, hi there. This is a sojourner coming to you from the Alpha House, United States of America. We want to welcome those of you who are here and those of you who are or will be listening around the world over the internet. We're going to be talking about words. The word or just the words. That's what we're going to be focusing on in this session. And our scripture is found in 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 8. Now, I will tell you something very interesting about this because my wife always has an article on the back of the bulletin. We do not talk about that until we have completed our articles because we don't want them we don't want to influence what the other person's writing. But the scripture she chose in this one is the same scripture that I have. And we always chuckle at how these things sometimes go together. So 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 8. Now remember, I will be employing the New International Version to allow English speakers around the world equal understanding of the words used. So, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 8. Paul is saying here, "If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but I have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all the mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. And where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away." Now, it might seem strange as I get into this that I use that as the scripture, but you have to understand that God is love, and in the beginning was the Word, and that is Christ. And so you'll see as I unfold this exactly how this will come together. You know, words are under attack in the world today. I don't know if you've realized that. Even freedom of speech may be in peril. It seems there is a concern over what is said and who may say what. God gave mankind the freedom to say whatever a person chooses to say. I don't know if you've thought of that or not. God gave people the freedom to say whatever they choose to say, because we have free will. You see, this freedom is a part of free will. The Bible tells us death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love to, in other words, have affection for it, shall eat the fruit thereof. In other words, what it's saying there is what you say is what you're going to get. It is very interesting that the word power here, remember it says, the death and life are in the power of the tongue. That word power there in the original Hebrew really means a hand, an open hand, indicating power, a means of doing something or a direction. Now, we wouldn't just get that if we didn't take a look at the original meaning of the word in the Hebrew. Very important. Now, and you'll find that statement that I read about death and life are in the power of the tongue if you'll go to Proverbs 18, verse 21. Now, people often speak words with little thought as to their meaning or what the consequences can be attached to their words. Many times, people just don't think about that. They don't think about consequences to their words. And one of the things that I've noticed is sometimes a person with a really poor self-image doesn't think their words have any meaning. And sometimes they'll say some of the meanest things you can ever imagine, because they figure if they don't have any value, their words have no value. But that doesn't change how they were made, because we're fearfully and wonderfully made, and I'll be talking about that in a minute, about how we all have the ability to say words, and when we do, those words have consequences. They have some sort of fruit that comes from them. You see, the understanding of this is very important as unintended consequences, unintended results can be devastating. An action always follows words. Now, if you don't believe that, I'm sure that there are things that you can think of that you could say to somebody and there would be an immediate action that followed it. You know, sometimes in the United States, what we call football is not what the rest of you around the world would call soccer. It's U.S. football. And sometimes when people are on the line during the football game, they'll try to say things to distract or make angry the person on the other team. And that quite often is followed by quite a reaction. Let there be. Did you think about those words? Just think about those words for a minute. Let there be. When God created all that he said, you see, when he created it all, he said, let there be. Take a look sometime in Genesis chapter 1, and you'll find the places where he said that. The actual translation of that, if you go to the pure translation of that, is be. And he would just command whatever it was, light or whatever, he'd just say, he was really saying, light be. Later we find, in Paul's letter to the Corinthians, Paul admonishes those in the body of believers. You see, in the body of believers, he's telling them, he's explaining them some things about the words. He says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or in deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Now look at what Paul says here. He says that we're to admonish one another, to teach one another with all wisdom, and to do it with singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And how to do it? Do whatever it is we're doing with gratitude in our hearts. You see? And that we do it through Christ to the Father. I don't know if you've thought of it or not, but when you pair words and music, it's very easy to remember. That's the reason the children of Israel, that's the reason we have the whole book of Psalms. We have, right after Psalm 119, if you've ever read through Psalms, you know that Psalm 119 is definitely the longest chapter in the Bible. But then you see just after that, there are these real short ones. And those short Psalms that you see there are called Psalms of Ascent. And those are psalms that whole groups of people would sing as they were ascending to the hill in Jerusalem to worship at the temple. And so they would be ascending and they would sing these short songs. You see, you can remember things when you pair it with music. That's the reason music is so powerful. That's the reason it's so important, the kind of music that people listen to, because in that music there are words. And in those words, with the music, they will become ingrained in your thought process. And you will begin to view the world and life that way. That's the reason Paul is saying to them to learn and to communicate and to listen with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Because they're so powerful. They're absolutely powerful. The scriptures even tell us that the whole universe has a song. That there is a melody, there is a tune that comes from the whole universe, from the planets. And now with radio telescopes, they've really proven that that's true. That different planets have a different song. We don't necessarily think of creation as having that sort of thing, but creation does. So it's very important that we understand how words fit into this whole big bowl of life. How do the words fit? How do you use words? What do you do with the words? You see, words are more than just talk. The use of language is for more than to just make a sound. Many living things make sounds, but the living being created to have dominion over the earth is meant to create sound in the form of language that brings something of substance into existence. You see, if we're made in the image of God, if we're made in the likeness of God, then there is a purpose in us having language the way we do. It's not just to make a sound. You know, my wife laughs at me because, and some people, you know, some people get all, I mean, I don't do this around other people, just her, but if I see a dog and we're going along in the car, I bark at the dog. First time I did it, it really shocked her. But I just like making animal sounds. I always have since I was a kid. So, I mean, I will meow at a cat, and I will bark at a dog, and I will whinny at a horse, and I will moo at a cow. You know, and some people, you know, some people might think that maybe I'm a little demented at doing that, but for me it's just entertainment, and I just enjoy doing it. I have had, the first time I mooed at a herd of cattle, I got in my car, and I got out of there as fast as I could. I mean, I had 50 or 60 cattle running at breakneck speed right toward me at the fence. And, of course, when they got up to the fence, they stopped. But they were just excited, I guess. They thought they had a new member of the group there, and so they were coming to see me. Now, it might sound kind of strange, but there are just little things. Everybody has little things they just enjoy doing that they probably wouldn't necessarily share with everyone that they say or do or whatever. I'll do that, and if that really bothers you, well, I'm really sorry, but I'm not going to stop it because I just enjoy it. When I was a kid, I used to try to sing back to the birds, and I know my wife has seen me do this. I will whistle at birds trying to duplicate the sound that they're making, and they'll talk back to me. You know, I grew up in an area where there was a lot of woods, and I spent a lot of time in the woods, and so I learned to talk to different animals, you know, and everything. I'm not saying that we had conversations now. I'm not doing a Dr. Doodle on you here. But I'm just saying that I learned about that. But you see, we are to make, as human beings, we make sounds that are our language that we can communicate to everything around us. You see, it is very unfortunate that language was used by Satan to deceive Adam and Eve in the garden so long ago. The deception brought about such massive consequences that they are still being dealt with this very day. I'm going to imagine that probably you, if you're in the sound of my voice, you yourself today had to deal with something that was really a repercussion of what came out of that conversation between Satan and Eve in the garden, and between Eve and Adam in the garden. There was something that happened that was really just a ripple from that very event. You know, massive consequences, thousands of years later. Many people talk about the world and what is happening today with little hope of being able to have an effect to make things better. Anybody can observe how bad things are. Anybody can report to other people how badly everything seems. But it's, how do you deal with that? Now that gets a little more difficult. Some people devise intricate plans to make things better, quote unquote, and vanquish injustice from a fallen world they do not understand is even fallen, because they've not heard the word of God. They just want to make things better. They want to make things different than they are. The problem is, they want to make things the way they think they should be. That's when people start colliding into one another about life and how it should have to ought to be from their own perspective. The result is they attempt to get others to submit to their will and vision for the perfect world. People attempt to create or take over governments to bring about their own conceived version of perfection, of happiness, of bliss, or whatever it would be to make the world right. These plans are just words, but with sometimes grave consequences. Why? Because though they may not accept God and God's plan, their words still create because they are made in the image and likeness of God. They're made in the image and likeness of the Creator, so they create. I would say to you that any time you speak, you are creating something. It's very important to make sure you're creating what you really do want. That might eliminate a few expletives from people's vocabulary. So, while these people who are doing this, they're made in the image and likeness of God, but don't accept God, don't understand God, you know, while what they say may just be words, these words are conceived in their hearts and create substance in the world around them. You can read about this in Luke chapter 6, verse 45. If you're listening on the internet, you might want to download this and look at some of these scriptures that I reference in our bulletins that are there on the internet for that purpose. Now let's think a minute about the power of words. Think about that a minute. Has anybody ever proposed marriage to you? Did those words have power? Did those words have an effect on your life? Did those words in any way change your life? For better or worse, to borrow a phrase from a marriage ceremony. They were powerful words, weren't they? And if you said yes or you said no, they had an effect on your whole life. Words are powerful things. And then we go back to that old thing we were told as children, is sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Words have devastated people. Words are very important because, you see, in the beginning was the Word. Jesus was there in the very beginning. John tells us that in John 1:1. Jesus was there in the very beginning. Jesus created this because it was the Word that created it. We can see that words have power. When a person accepts Christ as Lord and Savior, their words then have even more power than before, because their words are coming from a vessel containing the Holy Spirit of God. You see, if the Holy Spirit inhabits believers, then the words that you speak are coming from the vessel that houses the Holy Spirit of God. That's you, if you're a believer. That is you. Their words are able to reverse a curse of sickness, if you're a believer. Disease, doubt, and unbelief can all be reversed by your words. That's a pretty powerful thing. Think about that a minute. You know, now, it's important to point something out here. These are not just words of positive affirmation or thinking, which do have value on changing one's mind and encouraging a person in a productive direction. But these are words that have power to speak from the kingdom of God. The words, you see, understand something. There are many people who teach positive information, and that's okay. But that is changing your mind. That is a part of the renewal of the mind, even. But words do so much more than that. You see, it's very important to understand that. But words that have the power to speak from the kingdom of God, the words of the kingdom. You as a believer can do that. If you're a believer, you have the power to speak the words of the kingdom of God right from the kingdom, because you're in the world, not of the world, so you're in the kingdom. The scripture tells us in Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is living and active. So when we speak the word of God, we're speaking of something that is living, and it is active. Something that's active is exerting something somewhere. Pressure, a force, it is exerting something. And the Word of God, it says, is living and active. And it's sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing of the soul and the spirit, joints and the marrow. Now, there it is, that division of the soul and the spirit. The positive affirmation reprograms the soul, which is the mind. But then, from the spirit, from the heart and the spirit, come very different things. Because the mind must be brought in subjection to the spirit. We are spirit. We just happen to be housed in a body right now. Now, important thing to understand. This division is between the soul, the mind, and the spirit. When the mind is renewed, it will not block. Now, hear me here. When the mind is renewed, and that can be by some positive affirmations, hopefully from the scriptures, it will not block the spirit from allowing the Holy Spirit to demonstrate God's power through the believer. Do you understand that it is our mind that blocks a movement of God? Now, how does it do that? Because we do not speak and do the things of God because of the thoughts in our mind. If we think, well, I couldn't do that. Well, you may be right. You can't. But you see, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. So when you let the Holy Spirit move through you as a vessel, there is no limitation. There is no limitation at all. Very important to understand this. You see, we must not block the Spirit from allowing our spirit. That's the spirit I'm talking about there. We must not allow our spirit to block the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit will demonstrate the truth that's in the scriptures, and it will demonstrate, the Holy Spirit will demonstrate that truth through us. So allow the Word to renew you and empower you in this separating of the mind and the spirit, so that your mind can be brought in subjection to the Spirit, and not your spirit and your body brought in subjection to the mind. There's the battlefield of life. It's in that few inches between each of your ears. There's the true battlefield in life. The Word, allow the Word to renew you and empower you to restore God's plan. Not your plan to make the world better, but God's plan for mankind and for the earth. You see, Jesus said these words, and it's recorded in Luke chapter 6, verse 45. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. Remember, out of the goodness of his heart, and the evil man brings evil out of the evil stored up in his heart. For out of the overflow of his heart, his mouth speaks. What's that got to do with the scripture that I used? Because if I speak in the tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong and a clanging cymbal. I am just noise. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames but have not love, I am nothing. Why is that? It's because God is love. If you have love, you're just out there. I mean, if you have not love, you're just out there. Love is patient. You could very easily say here, God is patient. Every place it says love, just change it to God. God is patient. God is kind. God does not envy. God does not boast. God is not proud. It is not rude. God is not rude. God is not self-seeking. You see, God's always seeking some way to bless you, but we block that with the thoughts of our mind and the words of our heart that come out of our heart, because it's out of the abundance of the heart that the mouth speaks. God is not easily angered. God keeps no record of wrongs. You see, if you're in Christ, God keeps no record of your wrongs because you're covered by the blood of Christ. He's not out to get you. He's out to keep you and bless you. God does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. God always protects. God always trusts. God always hopes. God always perseveres. God never fails. But when there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be still. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. But God will never pass away. Love never passes away. This is not some icky, sticky, gooey, sweet kind of love I'm talking about here. This is the love that is so serious about caring for you and I. It's wonderful. God cares. And God put in us the ability to speak when He made us in His likeness and His image. So my question to you remains, do you want the Word or just to use words? And what are you creating with the words you use? And if you're not creating what you want, change your words. Get in tune with God and let God speak through you. Let His Holy Spirit that resides in the believer speak through you. You will not have to worry about governments. You will not have to worry about most of the things that the news is concerned about. Why is that? Because you will be changing the world, because love will take the gospel to other people. If you have no desire to take the gospel to other people, you need to check how much love there is in you. Is there just love for yourself? I got mine. Or is there love for others that God created? There's the question. And the answer is, it needs to be love for others just as God loves you. Now, if you've never accepted Christ, you wouldn't understand this love. But if you'd say, boy, you know, I would like to be a part of that. I would like to know in my heart of hearts that my God, the Creator, loves me. Well, you can know that. Just go to the throne and say, I'm here. I want to be in your kingdom. I want Jesus to come into my heart. I want to be a part of your plan, God. I want to speak your words when I open my mouth that you've given me to speak through your Holy Spirit being in me. In Jesus' name, amen. You pray that prayer, you're in. If you've been sort of messing around out there on the edges of it and you've prayed the prayer before, but somehow it just never really caught, and suddenly you're hearing my voice and you're going, I understand. Then you just return to the throne and say, I'm back. I'm sorry. I'm here now. I want to serve you. I want all the fullness of your Holy Spirit in me. He'll do it because He said He would. Because He doesn't lie. He doesn't change His plan. We may change our plans every two or three days, but He has had the same plan since the first time that He said, light be. That's the way God works. Now, if you need some help with this, if you've got some questions or whatever, you can contact me, The Sojourner at SojournersHub.org. Send me an email there. Sojourner is spelled Sojourner. The Sojourner at SojournersHub.org. Or you can even find us on the internet as well as call us. You can use our phone number, 800-391-6944. That's 800-391-6944. Or you can contact me on Skype, The Sojourner 3734. Any of those ways you can contact me. We'll be glad to get literature to you. We'll be glad to talk with you. We'll be glad to pray with you. We'll be glad to pray for you. We'll be glad to work with you in any way we can. I hope you've had the chance here to think about words a little bit and what they mean and how they might affect you or how they might affect the people around you. Because in the beginning was the Word, and that is Jesus, and He loves you. And He wants to bless you, and He wants you in His kingdom, the kingdom of the blessing. Well, that brings to a close this time together in this session. And so I'll leave you now with this blessing, the blessing of our Lord on you and all that is yours by blood, adoption, or assignment, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.